Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to worship in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is good to be with you this afternoon. For about the last month, every service I've done has been the last service in that particular church. I think I've made it around all six now, which is good. It is good to be here, but it's good to come together and to worship God, to meet at God's table, to remember God's goodness and grace and receive the gifts that God offers to us. That's why we meet today. So let's take a moment of quiet as we bring ourselves before our God. And from the Psalms, Psalm 96. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised above all other gods. Amen. We sing together 364 in the book, Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. 364.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of the name, the honors of your name. Jesus, a name charms our fears, that bids our sorrow cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ear, 'tis life and health and peace, 'tis life and health and of cancelled sin, he sets supreme his love free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood a veil for me. His blood a he speaks and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive, the mortal broken hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe. See all your sins on Jesus lay, the Lamb of God was slain. an offering made for every sin again, that all may heaven gain. In Christ our head you then shall shall feel your sins forgiven, anticipate your heaven below, and own that love is heaven, and own that love is heaven.
So we come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, all good, all true, all powerful, we worship you. Gracious God, all loving, all merciful, all compassionate, we thank you. Mighty God, always active, always leading, always calling, we commit ourselves to you. Saving God, always forgiving, always restoring, always teaching, we confess our faithlessness to you. Sovereign God, all in all, now and always, we praise you, we worship you, we lift up our hearts before you to celebrate your goodness, to rejoice in your blessings, to marvel at your mercy and thank you for your guidance, to offer our lives in response to you. Great and wonderful God, in you we see the glory of love. The glory of love that is from the beginning of time. The glory of love in which you come to us. That you move among us in your spirit. That you speak through prophets and priests and kings. And then in the right time you come among us yourself in Jesus our Lord. To offer us life. And hope and love. We recognize the times when our lives don't meet up to your standards, but you still come to us to offer us all of your grace. And so today we confess our sins to you so that we might know your restoration and renewal in each of our lives. In quiet, we bring ourselves before God. Hear then the word of grace spoken to each of us and to all of us that says, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Great and wonderful God, take this service, this day, this church, take our lives and all that we are and use all these things for your kingdom, for your purposes. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. We're going to hear our readings for this afternoon. I'm just waiting to see if anybody is coming to read or if I'm doing it. Wonderful. Ah, fabulous. Thank you. So we're going to hear from Genesis. These are the lectionary readings for today. We'll hear from Genesis, and then we'll hear from the Gospel according to Luke. Genesis first, and then Luke.
The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, I find favor with you. Do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree where they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "Surely I will return to you in due season, and your son, Sarah, your wife shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him.
Gospel reading is from Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. This is where James and John ask, "Can they be seated next to him in heaven?" "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "Oh, we can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right hand or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." Amen.
Thank you very much for those two readings. You see in those readings different ways in which people try to find their place. We get a little glimpse of the story of Abraham and Sarah, promise that God will make a new nation out of them, and it feels like it's now becoming a really difficult job. They're both getting on a bit, and it doesn't feel like there's anything that's going to happen. And then God joins them, visits them, comes to them, and calls them to see the world in a new way. They welcome him, they invite him in, they receive him, and they're blessed. And then they're given that promise again. You will receive a child, a son. They need to understand their place and trust in God as God asked them to. The second one is actually, again, people trying to find their place as disciples. What does it mean to be disciples of Christ? Does it mean we should have the place of power and authority? Does it mean we should sit on the right hand? Or does it mean something completely different? Disciples who should know better need to find their place too. Then a third reading that this takes us to. This is from Luke chapter 10. You'll know this story. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Thanks be to God for his word. We turn to sing again together. 254, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." 254.
"Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. There shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, 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 proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Now that I'm getting old, that song reminds me of school. We used to have to sing that in school assemblies in those days. And I remember preaching at a church quite regularly who, whenever you picked it, would insist you had to sing it in a round. So you would start, then you, and be glad we didn't do that this afternoon. Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. There was once a man who loved tractors. He loved tractors very much. It was nothing he loved more than tractors. He had tractor models throughout the house. He had remote control tractors to play with in the garden. He had tractor wallpaper. He had tractor pajamas. Everything was tractors. The only thing that he loved more than tractors was his wife. And one day his wife had had enough. And she came to him and said, "Look, it's either me or the tractors. One of us has got to go." And while he was sad, while he struggled, he loved his wife very much. And so he got rid of all the tractors. He got rid of the models. He stripped the wallpaper and changed the wallpaper. He got new pajamas. And the tractors were gone. And he was sad. That's when you say, ah. He was sad about this. But he got on with his life. About 10 years later, his wife and he were out for their anniversary. And they were in the town when they saw a terrible fire at a restaurant. And the whole of the building was filled with smoke and the people inside couldn't find their way out. So he walked right up to the door, went, sucked all the smoke out of the restaurant, turned around and blew it into the street. And all those inside were safe. I could find their way out. The fire brigade were delighted, said, that was amazing. How did you do it? He said, oh, it's easy. I'm an ex-tractor fan. Just let you enjoy that for a moment. Who are you? How have you changed over the years? Do you ever look back and say, how have I changed? How have I grown? How am I different now than I was 5, 10 years ago? In these last weeks, for me, it's one of those questions. What's different about me, having been in the circuit for 9 years? Having worked in different churches and different places, what's different about us? Because sometimes it's very easy for us to forget who we are. What is it to be disciples of Christ? Who are we now, in this moment, here today? What does it mean to be people who believe in the presence and the power of Jesus in our lives? What does it mean to be people who are disciples of Christ? What does that require of us? And I think that's what this story, this little bit of Mary and Martha is all about. When you read that story, I wonder, how do you think Martha felt when Jesus turned up at the door? Was she annoyed to be bothered? Did she have one of those little spy holes so she could look out and see who it was before she opened it? Did she see who it was, realize that it was Jesus and think, oh, I'd better open the door to him? Did she open it and, like you do, talk to the visitor on the step, hoping they'll go away before too long? Or did she sigh and say, oh, you better come in, I suppose? It doesn't look like it's any of that in this short story. When Jesus comes to her house, Martha opens the door and invites him in. She knows that when Jesus turns up at your door, the only thing you can do is invite him in and receive him. It's then that it goes wrong, because she gets so concerned that Jesus is comfortable and well looked after, that he has everything he needs, that everything is ready, that she doesn't seem to realize what's going on. Mary sits at Jesus' feet, the place of somebody learning, a student, where they might sit and listen to their teacher or their rabbi. And Mary doesn't seem to think that's any issue, but Martha is very upset. Tell her to come and help me. Tell her to get off here and do some work. And Jesus says, no, she's got it right, not you. Perhaps you should be doing what she is doing. If you've been following the lectionary over the last few weeks in this bit of Luke's gospel where Mary and Martha come, you'll remember the story of Jesus sending out the 70. Or the 72, depending on translation. Jesus sends out people, disciples, to all the places that he's going to visit. Sends them out with a message of the gospel. Sends them out to 70, because 70 represented all the places known in the world. He sends them out. They go off. They do it. They come back rejoicing. And then Luke tells us, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, which was last week in the lectionary. A story about what kind of things might happen on the journey as you're sent out. Where, you know that story, the man is beaten and lies in the road, and those who should help, those who should know better, are the ones who cross over and walk past, and the one who nobody expects to help is the one who stops. Jesus says, that's how you do the stuff I'm calling you to do. You're judged by the way you respond to the one who's lying dead and broken and battered and hopeless in the road. You're judged in that. This is how you do it. He sends them off, the 70. And then he says, and this is the kind of stuff that might happen on the journey. Then you get to Mary and Martha. And now there's no sending, now there's no challenging. Now Jesus comes to his people. He arrives at their door and calls them to sit at his feet. And says to them, there is one thing needed. Me. In the middle of all this sending, all this challenging, Jesus comes to his people and says, what you need is me. Stop, sit, learn, love. And so I think there are three ways that Jesus comes to us, his people, in this passage. We think about them for a moment. Firstly, Jesus comes to us in our mess. Jesus comes to the house, he's welcomed in, but Martha gets distracted by all the stuff she's got to do. She doesn't stop, or she can't stop and sit at Jesus' feet. I imagine her running around, tidying things up, sweeping the dust off the top of things, making sure everything is right. I don't know about you, but it feels like after 9 years, a good time to admit I'm not a very tidy person. About once a fortnight, I have to clear the top of the desk in the study so I can see it and work out what's going on, and usually move in a pile of papers on the floor on the other side of the desk. But my mother always taught me, if somebody's coming to visit you, make sure the house is tidy. Or rather, make sure the bits that they will see are tidy. So I do. I tidy the places people are coming, and all the rubbish is in another room that they're not allowed in. We can have that kind of mess in our lives too. We can have that kind of mess. Our lives can be full of things that are not quite right, full of things that need sorting out. Those strange relationships that we have with people, those arguments that we've had in the past, those things that we're annoyed about and upset about, those things that we don't understand. Our lives are not always neat and tidy and perfect, and yet Jesus comes to us in our mess. He doesn't get upset in this reading about the state of Martha's house. He doesn't think that she should be cleaning too. He doesn't point out another dirty mark. He sits and he waits in whatever mess there might be and says, I am here for you. I don't mind your mess. I don't expect everything to be perfect. I don't want you to hide things. I love you. That's the message of the gospel. That Jesus steps down into the mess of the world and lives in that mess, dies in that mess, and rises out of the mess of humanity to lead us into perfection and life and light. I don't mind your mess, Jesus says. Come, sit, be with me, and we'll sort that out later. Jesus comes to us in our mess, but he also comes to us in our frustration. Martha is so fed up of doing everything that she says to Jesus, will you make her help me? Why isn't she helping anyway? Why is she just sat there? And Jesus says, because you're the one who's got it wrong here. It's not her. Come and sit and I'll explain. Years and years ago, I remember walking through Liverpool, and there used to be big issue sellers everywhere in Liverpool at that time. And I can't remember where we were going, somewhere around Bolt Street, if you know Liverpool at all, up that end. And we were heading back towards the car park, which was near the Empire. And we walked past a guy who was selling the big issue, who was just, you know, big issue. And we walked past, and he just said something that I remember 20-something years later. I'm not invisible, you know. And that cut me. I thought, I can't. And we went back and we had a conversation. But it's so easy to walk past those things, to be so wrapped up in what I needed to do, to get back to the car, to work out what floor on the parking garage it was that I've missed it. And God speaks in those kind of moments to challenge us, to ask us to see the world in new ways. And perhaps this is what's happening for Martha in this passage. She just needs that shock to be able to see the world in a new way. For me, it was to see the bloke selling the big issue as a human being worthy of dignity and respect and love. For Martha, it's to see herself. Why are you running around like an idiot? Come, sit at my feet. God is at work in her when she doesn't realize it, when she can't see it, when she doesn't expect it. God is doing something in her, even in those moments, but calls her to come and receive. Come and know his blessing. Come and know that blessing which will allow her to do all the other things more effectively, to be who she's called to be. Even in her frustration, in her anger, in her disappointment at her sister, Jesus comes to her and says, come, sit at my feet. So Jesus comes to us in our frustration. And then lastly, he comes to us in our need. There is one thing needed, says Jesus. Sit at my feet, listen and learn and receive from me. Those of you who've been around in the church for a while know that there is always work to be done. There are always jobs that need doing. There are always roles that people need to fulfill. And there are always people who will tell you you should be doing more or doing better, or what you're doing isn't quite right anyway. What does Jesus say? He doesn't say any of that. He says there is one thing that's needed. Come and sit at my feet, and then that will transform all the other stuff that you do. And if you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus to receive from him, then all those other things within the life of the church have no power, because they're not filled with the grace and spirit and power of Christ. Trust me, says God, trust me and sit at my feet. There was once an elderly lady who was walking in the park one day and followed this very young couple who were walking all the way around, telling each other how much they loved them all the way around, on and on and on, and she thought this was wonderful. So she got home and she sat down with her husband of 50 years and said to him, darling, do you love me? He took a deep sigh. How long have we been married? He said. 50 years, she said. Well, he said, on the day we got married, I told you that I loved you. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. We are called to trust in the one who loves us. The one who has loved us from the beginning of time, the one who will love us until the completion of all these earthly things and beyond. We're called to trust in the God who is always for us, who is always on our side. Come and bring all that you are to me and trust in me, says God, because everything else will fall into place when you find that grace that I have. We can be involved in all kinds of things in the life of the church. We can give all that we have, but if our hearts aren't right before God, if we're not trusting what God has for us, if we're not receiving the grace and love that God has for us, then those things might just need to stop. More than anything else, our greatest need is for God, to know God, to receive God, to love God, and be loved by God. So don't be so busy that you can't stop, that you can't sit at the feet of your Lord and see the Jesus who comes to us in our need. I think this is the last sermon I preach in the circuit, because next week at the big final thing, Helen Byrne is coming back to preach and I just have to kind of float around a bit. This seems like a good place to end that last sermon. As we recognise God calling upon us in different ways to do different things, this little story of Martha and Mary tells us something about who we are and who we might be, what we must do wherever God calls us. We are called to serve God in this world. But as we do, Jesus comes to us. And that makes all the difference. In our mess, in our frustration, in our need, he says, there is one thing needed. Sit at my feet. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we gather together in your presence as your people, as your children, as your disciples, to receive from you, to learn from you, to be equipped by you for all that we have, all that we have to do and be and say. So open our eyes and ears and hearts to your love now, that we might know our place, that we might know our part, and be properly equipped to do all that we might do in your name. We hold this world before you, a world that is broken by violence and anger, and we ask for your peace. A world that's broken by inequality between rich and poor, by some living in ridiculous luxury while some scratch around for food to eat. We pray for justice. We live in a world where some find that they are not valued or loved, where some are lonely and feel lost and forgotten. We pray that your love would speak into those dark places of this world. We pray for the church. As our circuit prepares for new ministers, as this church prepares for a new minister, give us grace to be a people of welcome and inclusion and hope. And may we hold out the gospel of Jesus Christ in all we do. And so in the quiet, we bring our needs and the needs of those who are on our hearts this day. We offer them to God. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Amen. In a moment or two, we'll sing a hymn, and then we'll gather together around the Lord's table. Before we do that, we're going to share peace with one another. If you're able to, would you stand? God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. In whatever way you're comfortable, please share the peace with those around you. And as we come to share around God's table, we sing the hymn 248, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. 248. You'll need the separate A5 sheet for the communion words that I'm using. Please stand or sit as you're more comfortable this afternoon. Let's take a moment of quiet then as we gather around God's table. Jesus was always the guest. In the arms of Joseph and Mary, cradled in a manger, he was the smallest guest. In the temple, embraced by Simeon and Anna, he was the long-awaited guest. In the homes of Peter and Jairus, Martha and Mary, Joanna and Susanna, he was always the guest. At the meal tables of the wealthy, where he pled the case of the poor, he was always the guest. Upsetting polite company, befriending isolated people, welcoming the stranger, he was always the guest. But here at this table, he is the host. Those who wish to serve him must first be served by him. Those who want to follow him must first be fed by him. Those who would wash his feet must first let him make them clean. For this is the table where God intends us to be nourished. This is the time when Christ can make us new. So come, you who hunger and thirst for a deeper faith, for a better life, for a fairer world. Jesus Christ, who has sat at our tables, now invites us to be guests at his. So let us hear the story of how this sacrament began. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. While they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, it is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Later, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, in remembrance of me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take bread and wine, the ordinary things of the world which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do the same. Holy God, for the universe you have made in all its variety and mystery, we praise and thank you. For the gift of your beloved Son, the vulnerable healer, we praise and thank you. For your work of salvation, love crucified and victorious, we praise and thank you. With people everywhere, past, present, and yet to come, we praise and thank you. That you have brought us together around this table, no longer strangers but pilgrims, companions on a journey. We praise and thank you. So now send your spirit of faith, hope and love on us and on this bread and wine, that sharing them we may become your living body, active in your world. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Please sit down. This is the table of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love him and those who want to love him more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little. You who have been here often and you who have not been for a long time. You who have tried to follow and you who have failed. Come. Not because it's I who invite you, but because it is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him. All who the Lord loves are welcome at this table. Draw near with faith. Christ given for you. The body of 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 Christ given for you. So go from this table in peace to know the depths of the love of God, which is for you. And so we pray together. Living God, we thank you that in this meal you make yourself known to us. From now on, whenever we walk in strange places, we shall find your footsteps there. Whenever we meet with unknown faces, we shall see your image there. Whenever we fear the future, we shall hear your fear not there. Whenever we stumble into unexpected joy, we shall feel your heartbeat there. And so to you we ascribe glory forever and ever. Amen. We sing our closing hymn 548, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. 548.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Saviour all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Lifting my Saviour all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Ever rest I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. His Spirit's lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
We go now, energized by God's Spirit, to live out our lives in love and peace. We laugh, we weep, we wait in hope. We love, we struggle, we fail and start again. And always we stand on holy ground, for nothing separates us from the love of God. Go in his name. With words of love to feed the hungry and help the lost, bring comfort and care to friend and stranger, and may the whisper of our Creator God, the healing presence of Jesus Christ, and the enfolding of the Holy Spirit bless and keep you this day and always. Amen. Thank you.